guys, welcome back to Swap
Podcast episode
number, let's hear, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
We are on 7, and if you carry the 2 and add the 1 to that, you'll get the square root of 14. Ooh. Divided by 2, multiplied times the square root of 2 and the square root of 7. Anyway, I think that adds up right. Anyway, so the point is, welcome to today's podcast.
Yeah, how are you, Alan?
I am doing very well. I'm a little tired today. I just got done with my last class. It is, for those of you wondering, it is November 22nd, and I will probably be releasing this very, very soon, hopefully by the end of the day.
Yeah, because we're actually on break now for the week. You okay, Alan?
Yeah, except for me. Give me a moment. I'm tying my shoe. All right, there we go. Except for me, I'm not on break, but I am on break because I have calculus 3 homework I got to do.
So Oh, yeah.
There's that. Let's see here. What else is there?
Actually, we're not alone here in the studio today.
We aren't? No. He's eating right now.
Oh, yeah, he's eating.
Anyway, Jonathan, would you like to introduce yourself after you get done eating that thing? It's the reason why I have him mic'd on a separate mic, so that way I can... 5 minutes... No. 4, 5, back of the hand, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hello, testing 1, 2, 3. I'm just kidding. I always wanted to do that.
Hey.
I'm Jonathan. Nice to meet you guys. Nice to see you or hear you or just meet you because I can't really do that. But it's nice to be here with you guys.
Nice.
Yeah.
How are you today, Jonathan?
First of all, I'm starving. But... Second of all, I'm good. I'm pretty good. You're good. Just really glad that we already got a break and stuff.
Yeah.
No.
Well, how about we'll let you eat a little and we'll just move on to the news right now?
Yes! Cueing news music! Give me a moment. Yeah. You know, it's funny, we do this every time where we have to like wait for the moment to find the news music. I don't know if it's... Please send us feedback. Also, by the way, if you're listening to the podcast and you're new this week, thank you for listening.
Yes.
We just sent out an email last week, and I'll probably see if I can send out an email this week with the updated episode, and possibly see if I can get a newsletter type thing, so...
Ooh.
I can send out episodes on weekly updates through your email.
That'd be great.
That would be kind of cool. All right, so ready, set... Welcome back to today's episode of Infection Alley. I think I need to pre-record this every time. So that means it sounds super cool that we also have Jonathan Rikos in the studio today. I'm not your host.
Nice, so what's going on in the news today, Alan?
I don't know, I haven't checked my email yet. Well, oh, that's right, somebody added the podcast email, that's very wonderful. We have an email was sent out regarding our very own podcast by yours truly.
Yay.
And anything else that happened in the news I didn't
really... Well, fall break, that's the big thing happening next week. Well, it's really already started this week.
Oh, Thanksgiving break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're I'm gonna say I'm very glad because this week's been very, 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 very stressful.
Mm.
So it's nice to actually get some rest.
Mm. Mm.
Right before finals.
Mm.
Oh man.
Hey, they are having Friday night worship tonight, and Mitch, you gotta stop bumping that microphone. Anyway, they are having Friday night worship tonight called Light by Christopher Finley at the Student Center.
Ooh.
At 7 o'clock. However, I don't know if many people are gonna be there because most everybody's gone.
Yes.
So I probably will not actually be because I will be at home editing this podcast. Seniors are trying to get informed.
Hmm.
So if you are a senior, please sign up to the seniors. We want you to be informed. Just find it in your email. You'll find it.
Well, I believe, Jonathan, you're a senior, right?
It says the email. Yeah, the email says, "Hello, seniors. We want you to be informed, right?"
Yes.
Yes. Please accept our invitation to Canvas.
Cool.
So there's a Canvas section for you guys, seniors.
All right.
So.
Yeah, I feel like that's what happened to me earlier. Yeah, I was on Canvas and all of a sudden I get this notification. Like, senior class. You've been invited to senior class.
Oh, hey, any of you guys going to the Two Left Feet Jingle Ball? I'm planning on doing that.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, it should be fun. I enjoy swing dancing, so it's quite fun.
Oh, fun, yeah.
Cool.
So.
I haven't had a chance. I living on campus in Arlington. There's not much time to do much.
No, there's not.
While on campus.
Hey, speaking of which, I'm off campus. You're off campus. Is our friend Jonathan off campus?
I'm off campus. That's Ooh. Why.
So
I couldn't meet on time, you know, like lunch on time.
So. We have three off campuses hey. This week. So. So Jonathan, anything that you want to tell us about yourself?
Well, I'm a senior. I'm Jonathan Rios. I'm a senior. I'm a theology major.
Wow.
It's going to be my fourth year.
That's cool.
Nice. So being here all 4 years, what have you seen and what have you experienced on campus?
Well, one of the highlights, if you could say that, of the campus, of the Southwestern campus, it's just... seeing God's love to the people, it's really amazing. I don't want to, you know, talk bad about like other campuses or anything like that.
Yeah,
but,
no.
I've been to other campuses where it's there. You know, the love of God is there, but it, I don't know. It's not the same. It doesn't feel the same. It just
we have a more weird. Tighter knit aspect yeah. here, like. You know, you're a theology major, mm-hmm. but I see you probably on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Or I see people from the nursing department or kinesiology department. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I see people from nursing and kinesiology a lot less because they're in their own respective buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much everybody interacts with everybody else here on campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe Union and Southern are much bigger campuses.
Yeah.
Then Southwestern.
Union is a little bit similar to Southwestern with
okay.
regard to
yeah.
size, and everybody's on the same block, yeah. literally.
Literally.
We live in a little town.
A little town. But Southern is definitely larger because most of the time when I talk to my friends who are at Southern, I'm like, well, have you met so-and-so? They're like, I haven't met anybody outside of my own department.
Yeah,
and I'm like, how is that possible? So I guess it's just, it's really nice here.
Mm-hmm. I think this is something special that Southwestern is able to provide the students here. It's like you get to see almost everybody from every single different department each and every day just by going outside, you know, and getting to talk and getting to know them. Especially like I see a lot of people from kinesiology or talk with people from computer science.
Yeah, and those are two groups that I'd never see, so, you know.
I know, computer science, we live in the basement.
Yeah, it's kind of the rumor that you guys have, like, a bunker down there. It's like, you have an ultimate snack place.
Yeah.
We don't know the rumors, are actually. But, yeah, we hardly ever see you guys. You guys live down
in
that
bunker. You live in the depths of Southwestern.
What they really have is an entire underground tunnel network underneath the entire place.
Nobody knows. But
only computer science majors know about.
Ooh, spooky.
Bitch can't say anything on the air about
it.
No,
it's all confidential.
So, yeah.
No. But no, I do really agree that getting that you get to see a lot of our people, and even when you're taking your generals, you get to see a lot of our people from different majors, and being on the podcast here, we get to interview like people from different majors all the time, because me and Alan are like two completely different majors, even though our majors are linked together. Computer science requires math.
And math actually
uses computer
actually,
science.
Actually, yeah, math uses some computer science stuff.
And so it's just being able to mix not only math and computer science, but getting to be able to talk to a theology major or a history major or whatever major. It's
That's
really
right.
Nice.
We had a history major on the other week.
A history major. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
And so just getting to talk to them, it's really nice.
Hmm.
But no, being in theology for 4 years, what do you like about it the most?
I mostly like the professors that all the faculty that we have there.
Yeah.
And teachers, they're amazing. And I personally like that each of them have like a different
teaching style.
Besides that, but like a different point of view. You know, if you want to call it that. Because like they don't all think the same. You know, like when it comes to the. I don't know, theologically, or
yeah.
like, when it comes to Adventism and all that stuff. Like, obviously, they all believe in the Adventist message and all that, but at the same time...
But how they believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
What aspects they believe is different. Like, I had a class with Buster Swoops last semester, and I loved it so much because he's so honest about what...
I feel like we talked about this last week, but continue.
Did we?
Yeah, we talked about the exact same thing last
week.
Did we?
Yes. Maybe.
But no, it wasn't last week. It was the week before.
Yeah, I think it might have been the week before. Right. But just getting to talk to Buster Swoops about what he believes and what we should, how should we act as Adventists is totally different from how, who's the other? It's,
Campbell?
Campbell, yes. How he thinks.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
To see that contrast, it gives me relief because at least I'm not, like, they're not going to smother me in one idea.
Yeah.
You're free to choose what you believe. Mm-hmm. They're only presenting like what this is how Adventists should act and how what we believe as Adventists.
Yeah.
So that's something I can appreciate.
Well, I mean, also the other thing is that a lot of times it's, you know, and just with Christianity in general, it's more along the lines of, okay, why do you believe what you believe?
Yeah.
And most people have reasons for believing what they believe. And it's really nice if you're able to show those reasons, because then somebody else can say, like, for example, let's say I believe one way. I can show you the reasons in this in particular instance. Like, for example, let's say I find a Bible story that has to do with this in particular topic. I can go over to Jonathan, and Jonathan may believe something a little bit different because he's using a different part of the Bible. And then we can compare those two and see which part, and then combine kind of our ideas to see which... how everything works together. So it's not necessarily figuring out who's right. It's figuring out what's going on. So it's like if we're working together to solve a mystery case. And we're like along the lines of, okay, you know, Jonathan found out that the crime was not committed in the library, and I figured out that the crime was not committed with the candlestick. I'm using Clue references, by the way. Does that mean that Jonathan's more important because the library's bigger? No, Jonathan's not necessarily more right than me. He just discovered a little bit different clue than me. So that's kind of that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
And so have you ever considered doing a mission trip, or have you ever been on a mission trip? Because I know a lot of Southwest doesn't really advertise, like, hey, we want you to go do a mission trip.
They're fun.
Yeah, and I know one of your fellow math majors is in Palau right now.
Oh, yeah, Harold S. He's in Palau right now. And shout out to him if he's listening. I don't think I've emailed him the podcast link. you know, I really got to get on the marketing side. Hey, by the way, if you're out there and you want to become our marketing manager, please let me know.
We're always looking for you.
We're always looking for officers because Jonathan's part of our club. He's not an officer, though. Caleb's part of our club. He's not an officer, though. Hannah's part of our club. She's not an officer, though. All of our club members are just club members.
Oh.
So we don't
have to.
It's totally fine, and like me and Mitch can handle it. But if you're interested in becoming an officer, just let us know. We'd love to have you join aboard.
Yeah.
And if you want just a membership thing like these guys have,
more than welcome to.
You know, that also allows them to, I don't know what other benefit. We need to give some benefits for our members.
We should.
And possibly for our subscribers. You know, people who have listened to the podcast consistently for a certain amount of time, we need to collect something from each one. So I'm thinking maybe from this point on, we start dropping for the end of season two, we'll finish that off. But the beginning of season three or next semester, we're going to probably try next semester to begin season three. That will be on a different book and stuff. But I'm thinking we can drop like a word and it'll create a full sentence at the end. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, no, but back to the question. We were talking about mission trips. Have you ever considered going on one, or have you ever been on one? Have your professors encouraged you to go on one?
Well, not necessarily here, not in Southwestern.
Yeah.
Because, you have a lot of opportunities here at Southwestern. There's one in spring, and then there's a couple of them in the summer and all that.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually done that, but... In high school, I went to an academy in California, Northern California. I did that 2 years. I went on a mission trip 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not for 2 years, but like...
It was during your high school years.
Yeah, it was during my high school years. Well, one time we went for like about 2 weeks to Peru.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we went to Peru to like the jungle and all that.
Ooh,
so it was really cool. Like, pretty close to the Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went over there to like a little village. To rebuild their some of their houses and also their church, their small church they had there.
That's actually funny. So my sister and her husband work at Burt Nevis Academy, mm-hmm. and they're planning to a trip to Peru next semester during.
Keep going.
Spring break.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking about going with them to. Just to get to see Peru and help others who need mm-hmm. who need help. Because in the U.S., we're providing so many opportunities. It's nice that we can share yeah. our opportunities with others, whether rebuilding a church, rebuilding houses, or mm-hmm. providing medicine, or just whatever we can provide.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and a lot of times when you go on a mission trip, you think that you're going to minister to people to...
I was trying to add some sound effects.
You're going to minister to people, you're going to... just serve them and stuff, but yeah. a lot of times, I mean, actually most of the time when you do that, you're actually, it's kind of weird because you're actually ministering to yourself. It's weird, like it goes and it bounces back.
Yeah.
You know, that's how God works in like in both of the sides. It's really powerful. It's really crazy.
Wow, that's really interesting. So now that you're a senior, what do you plan to do after you graduate next semester?
Oh, that's a good question. all our class, like all of us were like,
like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because when you're at this stage of your life, you have everything planned until like May.
To that moment.
Yeah. You technically have, you know, quote unquote, your life planned. And so, like, May?
Yeah.
Like, May 8th? And then after that, it's like...
It's just a blank slate.
It's like, I'm here, God. Just
guide me.
Just take me. It's like you're riding a bike, right?
Yeah.
You're riding a bike on a trail. And a trail... Like,
and then the trail just ends.
And then all of a sudden, the trail ends, and there's a cliff.
Oh, no.
Like, you're hoping that the bridge appears.
That God will just
God will just provide a bridge, or something.
I'm sure he will.
Either that, or you need to build your own hang glider out of your bike, which has been done before.
Have you considered doing anything after you graduate, or you're
but a little bit out of that analogy and stuff. I've thought about working at a church over there and. The west side, like California, Washington,
really?
Oregon, stuff.
Nice. And so you're originally from California, right?
Yeah, I'm originally from Mexico.
Okay, okay.
I went to study at an academy in Northern California.
Oh, wow.
So I was there 3 years and stuff. And then
nice.
I came here, yeah.
What's it like? I know it's really hot in California.
Really what?
Is it really hot? It's really hot. I believe it's the southern part of California that's the hottest, correct? Compared to north?
Mm-hmm. Technically, like southeast, yeah, southeast California, something like that.
It's like scorching.
That's mostly like desert and stuff. You, in California, you have like a lot of different types of climate. I don't know. It's a big variety. Like, for example, if you want beach, you can go to the beach and it's cool, it's nice.
Yeah.
And if you want mountains and like snow or whatever, you can go up to this to
just
mountains
go to the
and
north.
Snow. Yeah, go to the north. So most of the time, the mountains and all that, like the cold and all and snow, it's like up in the north
nice.
Part. But like the heat and all that stuff is
yeah.
like in the south.
Now, what brought you to Southwestern? What made you come? Because I know there's La Sierra
mm-hmm.
University, or La Sierra University down.
There's also Pacific University nearby
Pacific,
as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of universities up in California,
right.
And you're like Walla Walla, for example. Why didn't you choose
mm-hmm.
any of those?
Yeah, because in that area, there's La Sierra University, there's La Melinda University, there's Pacific Union College and University, and then if you go up north, there's Walla Walla and all those, but, oh, and Weimar. But,
oh, yeah.
Weimar is cool. I have a friend of mine, actually I have two or three friends of mine at Weimar currently.
Mm-hmm.
Weimar also actually has their own podcast, so, maybe we got
to
do a team up with
something.
If you're out there listening and you're from Weimar, if you can make that happen, that'd be totally cool.
To our brothers.
But yeah,
I had a couple options, but before I came here, I was actually studying music technology.
Really?
Yeah, La Sierra University. I was at La Sierra University, and I was there almost right after I graduated from high school.
Okay.
And yeah, it's kind of like a long story, but But long story short, I was there 2016, something like that. I was there for like about a year and a half. And then, yeah, I was there and I thought I was doing fine, you know, because music has always been my passion and all that.
I know, you play the bass guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one of the best bass players I know. I mean, him and Sherwin are Sherwin. Awesome. If you need a bass player, just contact Mr.
Yeah, hit Jonathan up.
Yeah, and at that time I had a lot of internal struggles with who I really wanted to be, or who God really wanted me to be, or in the future. Because at that time I thought that music, since it was my passion, quote unquote passion, you know, I thought that music, since it was that, it could be like my future, or like who I could be, all that. But
yeah,
you know, there's a Bible verse, I forget, I'm paraphrasing, but it says something like, there's a path that seems right,
mm-hmm.
but it ends in destruction, right?
Oh, I think I know. I forget the exact.
Give me a second. Seemeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell seemeth?
C-E-T-H?
Find it. Moment.
But no, go on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so during that time, I had a lot of...
an internal conflict with yourself.
Yeah, internal conflicts with myself. And,
here it is. God. Okay. It's Proverbs 14:12, and it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end, this is the way of of death."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's one thing that's called, you know, the calling, right? Calling for your life, and another thing that's called, you know, your passion, your life passion. For many people, those things can be combined in one, which is great. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome, you know.
But for others,
such as me,
they're two different roads.
They're two different things, you know. Because, for example, my passion is music and all that. But the true calling that I found right there, that during those years at La Sierra, the true calling was to work for God, to truly work for God, you know, 100%, which means like 24/7, you know, like truly dedicating my life to God, to work for Him.
Yeah,
and there was no better way in my eyes. There was no better way to do that than to actually study theology. You know, learn more about how to do that, and let God equip me so that I can do that. So I can help others lead to Christ.
Yeah,
and stuff. And music could just be like a hobby.
Yeah, be a hobby. Like that, you know? It's a great hobby.
So, for whoever's over there, I mean, whoever's out there, just trying to decide like what to do, like and not really sure, not being really sure of what's gonna happen, you know, in college and stuff. I would just say to them, just keep on praying, keep on, you know, putting your trust in God.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna lead you, he's gonna show you the way to go. Because God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for each and everybody's lives.
Oh yeah, I would believe so.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to move on to the devotional?
Yeah, let's move on to the devotional. Insert music here. Have you not heard it in a while?
Huh?
We have intro music from season one that I use. Give me a moment.
I actually like it.
I like our season one intro music. Overlay that on top of whatever we have, and there we go.
Nice. So, shall I start us off?
Yeah, for you folks out there who are kind of wondering, we are in Daniel chapter 7, which should be apparent by now, but hey, if you're late to the game, we're going to catch you up. Anyway, last week on the podcast, we discovered that Daniel was in the lion's den, and we had Indiana Jones in the lion's den kind of effect, although that didn't show up till the end. So this time I think we need to come up with a theme of this before we start, so that way this will make a little bit sense.
The theme of this.
Or, well, we'll talk about
something. Well, yeah, I think the thing always tends to poke itself.
It always comes out halfway through the thing, so we'll find out about halfway through why it's called this.
So, starting in the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions in his head while on his bed. He wrote them down, dream, and telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, "I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up a great sea, and the four great beasts came from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, and its eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and lifted up from the earth, and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A man's heart was given to it." And suddenly...
Okay, let's stop right there. That's a lot to cost us. This is sounding like a Wizard of Oz.
Meets, okay, no.
This sounds like the Wizard of Oz.
I like the detail that they put in.
The details, yeah.
Yeah, so let's first off dissect what's going on. So the first verse kind of basically states that Daniel's having a dream,
mm-hmm.
which basically takes this out of reality, because
mm-hmm.
if this was in real life, I'd
mm-hmm.
be very concerned.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then the second thing is that it says, "Behold, four winds of heaven strove up again onto the great sea." So,
yes.
What does this actually mean, Jonathan? You want to shed some light on this?
Hmm. Okay. Let's see. Sorry, I'm still like chewing or like trying to swallow.
You're good.
Yeah. What's really interesting here is that, as Alan said, the story of Daniel kind of transitions into a dream. You know, it starts becoming symbolic in a way, because obviously when you dream, not everything
is true unless it's Daniel.
It's like literally true. So when we read the book of Daniel, a lot of sections here, they're actually like literal sections or stories and stuff.
Yes.
Like for example, when he's taken to Babylon and all that.
Yes.
Stuff, all that, and the first sections of Daniel, they're all like very literal.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to the Daniel 7, I mean, at least the message of Daniel 7, all this, it's very symbolic.
Yeah.
Very, very symbolic. We have to remember that in the Bible, not everything is like literal, like as it is.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it's symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you have several different categories of the Bible. I mean, you take it literally, but you don't take everything literally.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this case, it automatically establishes it's a dream. So you know you're
mm-hmm.
going to have symbolic thing. But other things, like David has a lot of poetry in it. So
mm-hmm.
that's separate. But
yeah.
there are some things like, and I've heard arguments that Genesis is a good combination
mm-hmm.
of both literal and poetic. It's not
mm-hmm.
symbolic in any way, in my opinion. But it's both poet. I mean, I guess it is slightly
yeah.
symbolic, but it is a literal thing, but
mm-hmm.
it's also poetic at the same
yeah.
time. In this case, we're just dealing with strictly symbolic.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to this, Daniel 7 is just strictly symbolic. Where it says right here, when it talks about the water, right?
Stirring of the great sea.
7:2, it says, "Daniel declared, I saw him a vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven were stirring up the great sea." Okay, let's stop right there. There's a really good book, very, very good book, that if you take prophetic studies with Pastor Rico, shameless plug, here you're going to get this book. There's this really good book called Secrets of Daniel by Jacques B. Ducan.
Ooh, interesting.
Sounds French.
Yeah. I can't pronounce that.
So
in this book, this book is really powerful, because it talks about Daniel, and it really like explains
what everything means,
like part by part, kind of like in our way of talking, if you want to call it that, like how, just.
It's something we can understand from biblical.
And as we find out later on throughout the chapter, there actually is an interpretation given right
mm-hmm.
within the chapter, which is nice, but we haven't gotten to that part yet.
Yeah.
So, according to this author, what does he think the four winds mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so right here it says in page 101, it says, "The mention of water sends us back to the time of creation, Genesis 1:1, and the four winds of the earth personify the four corners of the earth." Zechariah 6:5 and 6. The prophecy of Daniel concerns the whole world.
Wow, so it's more like what's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
So basically, I saw a stirring what happens when you get stirred up or you get riled up.
Yeah.
A change or a shift within the entire mm-hmm. world. So in this case, it's talking about the entire world.
Yeah.
It's not just dealing with a single thing.
Yeah, and also when it comes to prophetic language,
yeah.
Sea or water means pretty much people.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So that will be helpful for the rest of the time whenever we go through and we'll find out sea is people.
Yeah.
So it says the first was like then from the sea or from the sea, four great beasts came up, diverse one from another. So they're beast, but they're all very different. And you can find that in verse 3.
Yes.
And
the first was like a lion with eagle wings, but then he had his wings plucked and given a man's heart.
And he was also lifted up from the earth, so that means he was, you know, kind of stood up on two and made to stand on 2 feet as a man. So what is it talking about here? What are the beasts in this case, and why does the lion have his wings plucked, and what are the wings to begin with?
Good question. Daniel 7 is a very packed chapter of the Bible. Very packed with
prophecy. We may have to do this over two episodes.
Yeah. Very packed with prophecy, very packed with symbolic messages and all that stuff. It's very powerful. Which is why, we should probably do it in two episodes.
Yeah, yeah. We may only get through the first half. Let's try to get through at least to the second beast this episode. Let's just do the second beast, and we may dive in a little bit longer for this.
Yeah, because usually like for these type of topics, like Daniel 7, people do like
entire books on this
entire
stuff.
Books different volumes of books they do all that type of stuff. So now let's get to the you said second beast, right?
Let's go and discuss the first beast and the second beast. Well, spoilers, because we're not going to do the whole thing. Spoilers from verse 23. It says or verse 22 and 23. Let's cut down to 22 and 23 really quick.
Okay.
Because later on, it kind of gives the interpretation of what's going on. And so let's read that simultaneously.
Okay.
So you want to start in verse 22, John?
22. Until the ancient of days came, and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the nations, all the kingdoms.
Wait. That's the fourth beast. Let's see here. Sorry. let's go up a little bit. Where does the
interpretation is over here. Interpretation.
17 maybe? 17?
Yeah, let's go to 17.
Yeah, you go back.
There we go. Verse 16. There we go. Sorry about this, folks.
No worries. I came near to one of those who stood by, and I asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Those great beasts, which are four are the four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wished to know the truth of the four beasts, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth and iron and its nails of bronze, is devoured, broken to pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet. And then 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn came up, before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes of a mouth, had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, appearance with his greater fellows. And this is where we start talking about the four beasts, if we want to continue.
Yeah, so
they're like kings.
So So we've established that the beasts are kings, and we've established that they came out from a people.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a nation, we got a people. What's going on with the lion? Still kind of confused about that. Unless you want to say anything.
Spoiler alert! The lion. Where's the lion?
The lion's mentioned. I mean, he's in verse 4. Back to verse 4.
Yeah.
But he's kind of he's just kind of glossed over in the interpretation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All these beasts and Yeah, all these pieces you see here, all chapter 7, they're all pretty much in a few words, they're kingdoms. They're kingdoms, powers that they're going to be coming for him, for Daniel, it was the future, you know. So all this is talking about prophetic kingdoms and powers that were going to come after his time, after Daniel's time. So as we read these, spoiler alert, as we read all these beasts, we can see, oh, wait a minute. So this beast, for example, so this beast sounds a lot like this kingdom that happened, or this
we can look back at history because we're viewing this from the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, welcome to the future, guys.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is this beast? Now, here's a really good question. How do these beasts line up when it comes to the statue that we saw earlier?
Now, Daniel? Yeah, yeah.
Is this first one, because it's the first one, does this mean this aligns to the golden head of Nebuchadnezzar?
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, is the lion actually Nebuchadnezzar?
Mm.
What do you think?
No, that's what's beautiful about the Bible, that everything's connected. Mm-hmm. It's connected. So as you studied in the beginning, Daniel, the story of the statue, there are these parallels between that story of Daniel. I think it's Daniel 2, right?
Daniel 2 and Daniel 7.
They're very similar, very, very similar, which means that the medals and the powers or kingdoms
are going to be linearly the same. So,
yeah, they're pretty much about the same.
Now,
almost the same.
But wait,
here on Daniel 7, it kind of expands on that. It talks more
so
about
it
that.
So it gives us more details on each individual one. But it says that there's only four beasts that we read. But there's more than four sections of the statue. So in the statue, what do we have? We have the head of gold.
Mm-hmm.
We have
the bronze.
We have arms of silver.
Yeah.
We have
the bronze feet.
Bronze waist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And legs.
Legs of iron. That's four already.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the feet.
I think that was more than silver.
Feet of iron and clay. We just talked about this.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
So there's five versus four. So maybe there's, okay though.
Yeah, because five versus four. The beasts, they're four, and so they kind of overlap. And we're going to go into detail a little later. Mm.
Okay, so let's get through kind of verse 4 and kind of talk about that here for a second.
Verse 4, we left up in this 4.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If you want to read.
There's this lion that had eagle's wings, and the wings were plucked out, and it was lifted from the earth, and it was made to stand on feet as a man, and a man's heart was given it. So we have a lion, it has wings.
Yep.
The wings are taken away. It's made to stand on feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So what does a man's heart mean in this case? Because if somebody has a kind heart, for example, is that what it's looking for? Or is it associated with that the kingdom is very strong, or it's headstrong, or it's very compassionate? What is it kind of giving us here? Got any ideas?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were talking about the heart, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the heart, as well as the actual overall lion beast. So
let me just... Oh, sorry.
Okay, that's fine.
Let me just read you really quick a section over here from the same book, Secrets of Daniel, page 101. And 101. Let's see. It says, in reality, the beasts of the vision only remotely resemble the animals we usually compare them to. The first beast was like, verses 4 and 6, 4 to 6. The scene is almost surrealistic, an incoherent collage of familiar elements. In any case, it presents all the characteristics of a nightmare. But in the historical context of time, the mention of such animals carries great meaning. In Babylonian tradition, animals symbolize upcoming historical events. But in biblical tradition, such hybrid types violate the principle of creation that each animal be according to his kind, as well as the Levitical law do not mate different kinds of animals. So when it comes to the lion, it says the winged lion corresponds to the first medal of the statue in Daniel 2, as we were talking about earlier.
So in this
and
case,
represents
yeah.
Babylon.
Okay, so that's good to note that the lion here is probably referring to Babylon itself. So I think when it's talking about the wings, therefore, correct me if I'm wrong mm-hmm. in this case, but the wings, therefore, sound similar to the story that we had read previously in Daniel chapter 5 with Nebuchadnezzar, talking about how he was basically lifted up and then his entire kingdom was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he was made to be like a beast, you know, a beast in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says a man's heart was given to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's being restored once
mm-hmm.
again.
Yeah.
So maybe that, and I think that's kind of the entire story of Nebuchadnezzar in
yeah.
a nutshell.
In a nutshell, pretty much, yeah. If you want to focus a lot on the first one right now, it's pretty much that. The wings pretty much mean speed, like the speed, you know.
He was very fast.
Yeah, but he was very fast. Like
his kingdom grew quickly.
Yeah, compared to like animals that fly, compared to animals that run or whatever,
mm-hmm.
They're a lot faster than
yeah.
animals.
Like
so,
I mean, just take a bird. A bird's gonna go at 50 miles an hour versus
yeah.
you're gonna go. Land animals not
mm-hmm.
going to go near
yeah.
near that.
So that's how Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was. It was powerful, but it was also fast and very,
fast
very powerful and light. So, yeah, this summarizes
so,
really well Nebuchadnezzar's story and the story of Babylon
okay.
at that time.
So, anyway, it's actually about time for us to kind of end the podcast.
Yeah.
So, this was a good part one, and we may have multiple parts in Daniel chapter 7.
It is
and,
a big,
yeah,
big
it's
chapter.
It's a huge one. And we may, Jonathan, if you want to come back on a little bit later, that'd be totally awesome, or maybe next episode.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool for us to kind of continue this. We are going to continue studying Daniel chapter 7, 8, etc. Have a great Thanksgiving break, guys.
Yeah, any final words you'd like to add before we close it out?
Well,
I know we didn't get much through much today.
And I think, I think I would just say, yeah, whenever you study the Bible, just truly study it. You know, let's take time to truly study and not just read it. Because a lot of times, we just read verses like this. We read chapters like this.
And
we're like, oh yeah, there's a beast, there's this and that. And we're like,
but
wait
you understand
a minute.
The true meaning.
Yeah.
What is it actually
mm-hmm.
mean?
You know, wait a minute. Those beasts are not just beasts. They're like
actual
symbolic.
Kingdoms. Yeah.
They're kingdoms. They're all that. So let us remember to take time. Actually,
when
take
you actually
time
read,
to study.
Take a deeper look at what is
mm-hmm.
it actually talking about.
When we actually do that, yeah. Mm. God uses that to blow your mind away, you know, it's like, it's amazing.
Because it's like hearing a message from the future.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Back to the Future, you know.
Yeah, yeah. and what's cool about this is that we're from the future,
mm-hmm.
so we can look back and see 90% of
mm-hmm.
these historical events actually have happened
yeah.
in the past,
mm-hmm.
just as
mm-hmm.
God predicted them.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that was very interesting. So, you can check us out at
SwahuPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys for joining us today.
Thank you guys so much.
Jonathan, do you want to have prayer really quick to end the podcast?
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for this day that you're giving us. Thank you that it's already Thanksgiving break during the fall. And thank you, God, for the rest that you give us, especially now that it's Friday. Thank you for the Sabbath that's coming. And also especially for your word, for giving us time and giving us the willingness to study the Word, God. You've given us so many powerful things here in the Word, God. So many things, especially in prophecy, God. There are so many things in history and just the world now that confirm that your Word is true and that you are real, God. And just thank you for that. Thank you. And just help us to keep studying your Word, Lord. Help us to keep being persistent and the study and truly study your word and not just read your word, God. Thank you, God. For we just want to ask and pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks a lot, Jonathan, for coming on the show. Hey, one more thing before you leave. Would you like to come up with the code word for today?
The what?
Code word. We always have a code word in our podcast.
Code word.
We need to put it in the middle.
Yeah, that's true. I may put this at the very end.
Like, how do you use that?
For worship credits?
If possible. We don't know if we're going to get worship credits yet for this. But it's still kind of a cool thing for a montage for our listeners.
Any, like,
yeah. It can be any word, as long as it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Chicken noodle soup?
Chicken noodle soup?
Lentil soup for the soul. I'm just kidding.
Lentil soup for the soul.
Okay, we will put that down as lentil soup
like
the soul.
A series of books.
Oh, yeah. By the way, have you heard chicken noodle soup for the soul? It's actually, I've read a couple of those or parts of them. They're really good. All right, I'll see you guys later. And now I have to go edit this and have a break. So
have fun.
And Mitch, you look like you're about ready to fall asleep.
Yeah.
We almost did not do this podcast, but we needed to. So
well,
thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.